It's pretty rare for me, in thinking about the right way to introduce Rev Weinberg to you, literally 10 or 12 different ideas went through my head. I was thinking about the first time I really met Rev Weinberg, which I believe was when he was playing for the group Omek HaDavar, who performed at a DRS Shabbaton back in the Swan Lake Hotel, which used to be called the Stevensville Hotel. We used to have our Shabbaton in, and it was such an incredible evening of inspiration, excitement. Think, of course, of the fact that he grew up right around the corner from my parents' home, and certainly his brother, Rav David Weinberg, was such an important member of our yeshiva for the years that he was here, has since made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. But in reality, the thing that I think is most significant about his presentation here this morning is something that within the Shloshim of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, and considering we were studying Maseches Makos and we're on Erev Shavuos, we're thinking so much about the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. How Talmud Torah, the Mishnah teaches us, is in some way equivalent or as significant in some way as every single other mitzvah. And I heard in the name of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein recently that not only is when a person learns Torah is it a kiyum of the mitzvah of Ishinanta Muvanecha, to teach, to learn Torah, to study Torah, but it's also a kiyum mitzvah of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. When a person studies Torah, you are being mekayim in the mitzvah of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you can't love someone unless you know them. And there's no other way to know the Ribono Shel Olam aside from learning his Torah. And if there's someone who, over the last couple of years, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say he's really started a revolution of introducing, reintroducing the Ribono Shel Olam into the study of Torah, that we should all view when we get here to daven every morning, we should view that davening as a time to really talk to Hashem, the Master of the Universe. And when we sit in shir every single morning and we're talking about Erev Kabbalah Satorah, that we should really have the feeling that we're trying to get to know somebody. We're trying to get to know the Master of the Universe. Like Rashi says in Maseches Makos, Kasher Yomar Mashal Kadmoni, that the Torah is a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a description of God. And if that's not the goal of our yeshiva, to try to introduce students to the Master of the Universe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, then I don't know what is. So it's really a great special privilege for us this morning to introduce Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. Is a Rebbe in the Beis Medrash program in Yeshiva University, and really has had a major impact on so many students. Please give me your undivided attention.
Rabbi Kamenetsky, just all the other rebbeim. I apologize, I'm a little under the weather. I hope you'll be able to hear me well. Baruch Hashem, this is my first time stepping into the DRS Beis Medrash. And I guess in some ways, after teaching for a number of years at TABC, usually I met up with the Chevra over here at the Lawrence Middle School. Usually rooting for the storm. against the Wildcats. I guess this is the beginning of my tshuva process, to come and learn together. But it's a very special schus to be here. And I look around the room. I was just saying to some of your rebbeim, who so many of your rebbeim are my rebbeim, my old friends, my old camp counselors, people who for years, many years, have served as role models for me, what it means to be a Ben Torah, what it means to be an Eved Hashem. And I hope you guys just take a moment to appreciate and realize how lucky you are to have the rebbeim, the anhala, the types of people who guide you here, who introduce you, like Rabbi Kamenetsky said, to the Rabbono Sholem, to his Torah. And it's just a very special schus to be here. Rabbi Kamenetsky said this morning, we omitted Tachnun because we're in those days of great excitement, a few days before Kabbalah Satorah. And there's nothing that gets a person excited for Kabbalah Satorah by meeting up with a little child who's coming home from school, as I did just yesterday. My daughter, Mira Rivka, she's 3.5 years old, and she walked into the house and she had this huge smile on her face. So I said, "Hi, Mimi, what's going on? What are you so excited about? What's with the smile?" And she said, "Daddy, did you hear? We're about to get the Torah. We're getting the Torah." And such a beautiful expression of joy, of excitement, of a little kid's innocence, excitement for Kabbalah Satorah. I was so proud of my daughter. I was enjoying a moment of Yiddish Anachas, as they say. And then all of a sudden it hit me that I have no clue what Shavuos is about. Kabbalah Satorah, we're getting the Torah. Daddy, we're so excited, we're getting the Torah. However, what does it mean that we're getting the Torah? If you stop and think for a second, last time I checked, in the year 2448 from creation of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Klal Yisrael over 3,300 years ago, and he gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. So we spend these days, we're getting ready, and we're counting Sefiras HaOmer, we're getting excited, and we're hearing Shiurim, and we're planning a beautiful night of learning, and we're getting ready for Kabbalah Satorah. But again, the question that was bothering me yesterday, maybe it's an obvious question, maybe you've thought about it before, what does it mean we talk about getting the Torah? Being mekabel the Torah. We have the Torah. Looking at the Sfarim, the beautiful bookcases here, lined with Sifrei Kodesh, with Torah. What does it mean to come to Kabbalah Satorah, being mekabel the Torah? As if we don't have the Torah. We've had the Torah for a very, very, very long time. And again, I thought a lot about this question yesterday. And I want to share with you an explanation that I think will help us to come to Kabbalah Satorah in a new way. What exactly are we getting? What are we being mekabel on Shavuos? I think the answer is as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah 3,300 years ago, that was the first time we got the Torah. When else did we get the Torah, or when else do we get the Torah? We get the Torah every single day of our lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a Jew to wake up every single morning and be mekabel the Torah anew, as if he's never received the Torah before. We say, Chumash tells us, in Parshas Yisro, Klal Yisrael come to Kabbalah Satorah, Bachodesh HaShlishi Letzeis Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, Bayom Hazeh Bo'u Midbar Sinai. Bayom Hazeh. On that very day they came to Midbar Sinai. Says Rashi, Bayom Hazeh B'Rosh Chodesh. Lo Hayetzarech Lichtov Ela Bayom Ahu. The Torah just as well could have written Bayom Ahu. What's Bayom Hazeh? Ma'u Bayom Hazeh, says Rashi. Shu Divrei Torah Chadoshim Alecha Ki'ilu Hayom Nin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Eina Chanami, right now you're about to mekabel the Torah. But every day is Yom Hazeh. Every day is the opportunity to mekabel the Torah for the first time, as if you've never had it before, as if you've never experienced it before. In Parshas Ve'eschan, we just said not so long ago, this morning, in Kriyat Shema, we say it every single day, several times a day. V'ayu ha'dvar ma'ela, asher anochi mitzavecha hayom al levavech. To be mekabel the Torah, v'ayu ha'dvar ma'ela, asher anochi mitzavecha hayom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding us in the mitzvahs hayom. Again, explains Rashi in Parshas Ve'eschan. Lo yiyu be'enecha k'diyot k'ma yishan. Don't look at the Torah as some old-fashioned book of values, of ideas. Rather, she'ein adam sofna, don't look at it as something that no one's interested in, that sits on a shelf and gathers dust. Ela kechadosho sha'kol ruchsin lekrosa. Torah should be so fresh, so new, so exciting, like something that everyone's running to. Lahavdil, like the latest iPhone that people are lining up to catch a glimpse of, or the latest technological device or gadget. That everyone's running kechadosho sha'kol ruchsin lekrosa. That's what our relationship with Torah is supposed to be. That b'chol yom yu beinecha kechadashim, asher anochi mitzavecha hayom. That ke'ilu today is the first opportunity to be mekabel the Torah and to receive the Torah. That's what it's supposed to be. And the Sfarim use this to explain an interesting question about Shavuos. If you think about Shavuos as opposed to Pesach, and as opposed to Sukkos. You'll note, as Rav Aaron Cutler points out in the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron, it's in the first volume, Rav Aaron Cutler asked, on Sukkos, we have a Maisa Mitzvah, there's a Zecher to the Ananei HaKavod. We sit in the beautiful huts, in our backyards, on our driveways, wherever we set up our Sukkahs. We sit in the Sukkah and we recall, we think, it's part of the Mitzvah, to remember, right, Machlokas in the Gemara, but we remember the Ananei HaKavod, Zecher L'Ananei HaKavod, a throwback, a Zecher, a reminder of the Ananei HaKavod that we sat in once upon a time. On Pesach, we also have a Maisa Mitzvah. We eat the matzah, and there's many mitzvahs. The Vilna Gaon put together a calculation. 64 mitzvahs, deraisa, derabanan, on Leil HaSeder. Says Rav Aaron Cutler, what's the Maisa Mitzvah of Shuas? What's the Chafsa Shal Mitzvah of Shuas? Why don't we have a Zecher to Maimed Har Sinai? What do we do to remember Maimed Har Sinai? And if you look in Sifrei Minhagim, there are things throughout Shuas that we do in some way as a Zecher to Maimed Har Sinai. But not in the same way that we have the matzah, not in the same way that we sit in the sukkah. And Rav Aaron Cutler explains so beautifully, we don't need a Zecher to Maimed Har Sinai. We don't have to remember Maimed Har Sinai. We don't have to remember Kabbalah Satorah as some strange, abstract event that took place long ago. Why? Because every single day we're experiencing Maimed Har Sinai. A Zecher means this once was, and we want to remember it. We want to maintain a connection to it. We want to keep a Kesher with it. But Kabbalah Satorah takes place every single day of our lives. We come to Har Sinai every single day of our lives when we're Makabel the Torah. And this also explains, I saw in the Sefer, beautiful Sefer called the Dvar Tzion, by Rabban Eretz Yisrael. Also in the Sefer, Milei de Mordechai, brings the same Yisod. And they both explain that if you look in the Masos and Parshas Masse, when it's describing Klai Yisrael, we're here, Klai Yisrael, we're there, the many travels of Klai Yisrael through the Midbar, it does mention that we came from Rephidim, we came to Sinai. But shockingly, when the Torah is listing the Masos, it doesn't point out what happened. What happened at Sinai? That's surprising because if you look by the other Masos, for example, when Klai Yisrael came to a place called Elim, the Torah tells us, guess what happened in Elim? They found palm trees, Shkayach, they found palm trees. And it points out they came to other places and they experienced this, they experienced that. It gives us highlights from those travels. What was the main event that took place in the most significant stops along the way? And then it says Klai Yisrael came to a place called Sinai, and then the Torah goes weiter, it just moves on. Didn't the Torah forget to mention something slightly significant that happened to Klal Yisrael at Sinai? The Torah doesn't bother to mention what was the outstanding event that shook the whole world at Sinai. And the Dvar Tzion and the Milei de Mordechai both explain the same Yisod. You don't have to recall the Masos or a reminder again of what once was. That we were here and we were there, we traveled from this place to that place. Hashem wants us to know, and there's tremendous Sodos HaTorah contained within those travels. Hashem wants us to remember we came to this place, we came to that place, places that are unfamiliar with us. Places that we don't really think about on a daily basis. But Sinai, you don't have to remind the Jew what happened at Sinai. Because we live with it every second of every day. And that also explains the precise arrival of Klal Yisrael at our Sinai. The Torah emphasized, I read you the Pasuk a moment ago, that B'chodesh HaShlishi, it was Dafka on Rosh Chodesh, that Klal Yisrael came to our Sinai. That Klal Yisrael came to Midbar Sinai. That they arrived in Midbar Sinai. Our introduction to Kabbalah Satorah was Dafka in the context of Rosh Chodesh. There's a sefer that came out a couple of years ago. It's called the Simchas Mordechai. Beautiful, beautiful essays, drashos from Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, the great Rosh Yeshiva from Tells. And Rav Gifter asked the question, why dafka does the Torah emphasize that the arrival of Klal Yisrael was dafka on Rosh Chodesh? What do you think about when you think about Rosh Chodesh? What's the very nature of Rosh Chodesh? What's the essence of the Indian of Rosh Chodesh? Rav Gifter explains Rosh Chodesh, of course, is the Indian of Aschadshus, the concept of renewal. Says Rav Gifter, of course, the first thing a Jew needs to know as he comes to Kabbalah Satorah, the first thing he needs to learn before he can be Makabel the Torah is this Inyan of Eschadshus. Why? Because that's what our relationship with Torah is supposed to be every single day of our life. That b'chol yom yiyu be'inecha kechadashim. It has to be entirely new. Like nothing we've ever experienced before. Rav Gifter goes on and he quotes from the Meshech Chachma, who notes it doesn't say that it was vayihi bayom uvayom uvachodesh hashlishi. It doesn't say, uvachodesh hashlishi, Klal Yisrael came to Midbar Sinai. It just says, vachodesh hashlishi. No vav. Says the Meshech Chachma. Why is there no vav? Uvachodesh hashlishi, as you would have expected. Rav Gifter quotes the Meshech Chachma. There's no vav because there's no connection. There's nothing that happened before has anything to do with what's about to happen right now. Because it's entirely new. It's Rosh Chodesh. It's Ischachos. It's the greatest renewal that's ever taken place. And again, chevra, we're offered that opportunity every single day of our lives. When we learn Torah, we have the opportunity to learn with such an excitement, with such a freshness, a newness. And if we're not true to Torah in that way, then we've really undermined what Torah is itself. Without his chadshus, it's not really Torah. If we're not excited, if it's not fresh, it's not really Torah. It's part and parcel of the Kabbalah of Torah that we experience every single day of our lives. Think back to Chorban Bayis Rishon. What caused, now we're sitting in Galus, almost 2,000 years, Bayis Sheni was destroyed nearly 2,000 years ago. What was the cause of Chorban Bayis Rishon? The Gemara in the Maseches Nedarim, Daf Pei Aleph, is trying to figure this out. Whereas, quoting Pesukim, trying to understand what caused the Chorban. What caused Galus Bava? And the Gemara gives a very strange explanation. The Gemara says, Shelo birchu b'torah tchila. Shelo birchu b'torah tchila. People stop saying birchas haTorah. And many Sfarim try to offer explanations. What does that mean, Shelo birchu b'torah tchila? Jews stopped reciting birchas haTorah. They took out part of the birchas haTorah. Many answers found in many Sfarim, in earlier works and later works, in Rishonim and Achronim. The Shem Yishmuel gives a very frightening answer. Shem Yishmuel is found in Parshas Yisro on page 242. And the Shem Yishmuel says, what does it mean, Shelo birchu b'torah tchila? The Torah had become stale to them. It was such a, their connection to Torah was such that you could wake up one day, recite birchas haTorah, and that covers you for the rest of your life. You don't need a new birchas haTorah every day. It's the same old Torah from yesterday. It's the same Gemara, okay, it's a different blot, it's a different Maimar Chazal, it's a different Halach and Shulchan Aruch, it's a different Pasuk, a different Rashi, but it's the same Torah. Shelo birchu b'torah tchila, Nebuch, Klal Yisrael thought, you can make birchas haTorah one time. And that'll cover you for the course of a lifetime. But when that happens, that's galus. That's chorban. That's a chorban to Torah itself. Because it undermines the very nature of Torah. Torah can't be treated as something that's old because it's not old. Torah is the freshest thing. Torah is the most real thing, the most alive thing that Klal Yisrael owns, that Klal Yisrael have. The greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us long ago. When it comes to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Kamenetsky was describing, it's one and the same. When a Jew learns Torah, he's coming into contact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Gemara in Shabbos. Anochi stands for Ananafshi Ksivas Yehovas. The Kodesh Baruch Hu transmitted himself in Keilu written form. Hashem wrote himself down and handed it to us and gave it to us, like the Baal Tani describes in the fourth parak, that encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to have a relationship with him, it's the same thing. Hashem wants it to be entirely fresh and entirely new. Parshas Kisavu, you have a very strange pasuk. It's Parak of Zayin. Haskesu Shema Yisrael. Listen up, Klal Yisrael. Hayom hazeh niyesel la'am la'Hashem Elokecha. Hayom hazeh, today you're becoming my people. Parshas Kisavo, Perek of Zayin. Hayom hazeh, we're becoming Hashem's people. We haven't been Hashem's people for a long time. We're getting to the end of the Chumash. Says Rashi, V'chol yom yuyu be'inecha ki'ilu hayom basim obebris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be that you wake up in the morning and it's ki'ilu today you were just chosen. That every single day a Jew wakes up and he says moda'ani and he thinks to himself, ki'ilu Hashem just decided. Hashem just decided to choose the Jewish people as his holy people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just decided to give Klal Yisrael the Torah. That's the feeling we're supposed to have every single day of our lives. That's our relationship with Torah. That's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that it's not so easy for us to feel that way. It's very hard as human beings, as Basar V'dam of human beings, with all of our taivas and all of our challenges and all of our yetzaharas, and just being human. It's very difficult to wake up every single day of our lives and to feel ki'ilu, Hashem chose me today. Ki'ilu, Hashem came to give me the Torah at Har Sinai today. That great event that took place so long ago. It's hard to feel it every single second of our life. And I think that's the answer to what Shavuos is. We talk about Kabbalah Satorah. When my daughter walked into the house yesterday and said, Daddy, we're so excited, we're getting the Torah. What are we getting on Shavuos? We have the Torah. The answer is Shavuos gives us an opportunity to stop for a minute and to re-experience that freshness. To recover the Torah again. Of course it's supposed to be that way every single day. Every day it's Hayom, Kilu Hayom, the Torah was given to you. Kilu Hayom, Hashem chose you as His people. But on Shavuos we stop for a minute and we reconnect with the Torah that we already have. We stop to take note of that which we already own. To look at that gift we were given thousands of years ago. And we say to ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to appreciate it in a new way. We're going to recover it again as if today it's being given to us for the very first time. Because a person can have a gift as precious as the Torah. And if he doesn't know what it's worth, if he doesn't even realize that he has it, chas v'shalom, he can miss out on the greatest pleasure in this world. There was a very chashuv rav, passed away in 2001. One of the great gedolim, great poskim of our generation, maybe not so well known. His name was Rav Chaim Kreisworth, zatzal. Rav Kreisworth was a rav in Antwerp, in Belgium. Came there in 1953. He was the Abbasin in Antwerp. He was the posek for the community, for the Jewish community. He spent years building that Jewish community in Antwerp. And he was a Holocaust survivor. Massive Talmud Chacham. As a young boy, they called him the Krakower Eloy, a big goon by Chachmei Lublin, very, very chashuv, Talmud Chacham, very, very special, unique Torah personality. Passed away again in 2001. So he used to describe his experience during the Holocaust. And he would describe how he survived the Holocaust, why he felt he escaped the clutches of the Nazis in Auschwitz. And he used to tell the following story. He used to describe how when he was in yeshiva, it was impossible for him to get a bed in the yeshiva. It wasn't today, you know, you have yeshivas that have beautiful dorms, right? They didn't get bagels for breakfast every day like this wonderful yeshiva, right? It was more difficult. And he used to go to yeshiva. He had to live, he had to find lodging very far from yeshiva, an hour each way. He would walk a sum total of 2 hours every single day back and forth to yeshiva. It was very difficult. But what choice did he have? He had no choice. There was no other option. And he waited and he was hoping that eventually he'd be able to get a bed somewhere in the yeshiva. There was a very, very limited amount of space. At some point, a bed opened up in one of the side rooms of the yeshiva. And it was offered to him. And he was so excited, I'll be able to save all this time. He was frustrated. Again, the schlep, the back and forth, 2 hours a day. Can you imagine walking 2 hours a day back and forth to yeshiva? He was prepared to do it, but so excited he had this bed, finally an opportunity to take away that tircha, all the travels. He said the first night, the very first night before he ever slept in that bed, he said there was another bachur in yeshiva, a very sad bachur, difficult family situation, very depressed, very down on himself. And he said to a young Rav Chaim Kreisworth, he said, maybe you know if there's an extra bed in the yeshiva, somewhere that I can stay, somewhere that I can sleep. He was also finding a difficult time finding lodging in the yeshiva. Rav Chaim understood that he was being merames, you know, maybe I could have the bed that was given to you. And he said, without missing a beat, he said, sure, there's a bed, there's one that's available to you. Of course, I'd be happy. And he gave him that bed that he'd been waiting for so many years to get, that spot in the yeshiva. And he went back to traveling 2 hours a day, back and forth. It was great, great mesiras nefesh for him to give up that bed. But he did it. He felt this bachur was really down on his luck. He was very dejected. He was heartbroken. He felt this bachur needs it much more than I do. He said, what happened? 1939, the Nazis, the Germans, invaded Poland. And the Nazis came to his yeshiva. And they were lining up bachurim and killing them in a horrible way. The Nazis would line up the bachurim. They would stand them in front of an open window. And they would shoot them and then throw them out the window. And the bachurim were online, pleading for their lives. And one by one, each bachur would come to the front of the line. And the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, would shoot them and throw them out the window into a pile of bodies below. And Rav Chaim Kreisworth was one of the bachurim on that line. And he was standing on line. And he paused for a second, a few moments before he got to the front of the line. He said, Rabbono Shalom, only you know the mesiras nefesh that I had to give up that bed. Only you know how much it hurt me, how much I sacrificed for another Jew to give up that bed. Rabbono Shalom, in the merit of my mesiras nefesh, in the merit of my care and concern for another Yid, I want you to spare my life. And he got to the front of the line, and he turned to the Nazi beast standing there with his gun, and like all the other bachurim before him, he started to plead for his life. And something clicked. And the Nazi says to him, listen, kid, I'm going to shoot the wall, you fall to the ground, pretend that you've been shot, and we'll throw you out the window. Rav Chaim Kreisworth was the only bachur to survive from that yeshiva. He was the only person to survive. That was the story that he told. That was part one of his experience in the war. However, we could talk for hours about the value, the lesson of a Jew sacrifices for another Jew. It's a very important lesson, and it's very much connected to Shuas. But it's for another time. After that, Rav Kreisworth describes his experience in the war. He had survived that one point of the war, but it wasn't quite over yet. At a later point in the war, he said he met up with an elderly Jew somewhere in one of the camps, and this elderly Jew says to him, listen, you're a young man. He says, I know that tomorrow I'm going to the gas chambers. He says to him, I have an account, a bank account in Switzerland that has a lot of money in it. There's a better chance that you're going to survive the war than I am, and I want to give you the account number, I want to give you the password to access the account, all the information, and I want, if you survive the war, you should find my children, if anyone survives, and pass along this information to them. And he trusted him. Rav Chaim Kreisworth was an honest person, a young budding Talmud Chacham, trusted him with this secret information. He passed along the information. The Kacha, that person went to the gas chambers the next day. Rav Chaim Kreisworth eventually survived the war. He made it eventually to Vilna, from there to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kreisworth said 20 years later, he was sitting in a base medrash. He found himself in Yerushalayim. And all of a sudden, this poor person walks in. This poor fellow sits down, and they strike up a conversation. They start talking, playing a little Jewish geography. And Rav Chaim Kreisworth realizes, this is the son of that person I met in the camps years before. And he says to this poor fellow, let me tell you something. I know your father. I met your father. And your father gave me the information to a bank account in Switzerland that has a tremendous Yerusha for you. You should go and you should access it. You're living like a poor person in Yerushalayim. This person was so poor, he didn't even have the money to travel to Switzerland. And he borrowed money, and he traveled to Switzerland, and he came to that bank account, and he found that there were $30 million. $30 million waiting for him in that bank account. And when Rav Kreisler used to tell this story, he said, that's true about every single one of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us his Torah and his mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a massive treasure into a communal bank account of Klal Yisrael. But what happens if a person doesn't know it? What happens if a person doesn't realize what he has in store for him, sitting there? Can you imagine $30 million? This person was living like a poor person in Yerushalayim, not realizing that he was a multi-millionaire. Rav Kreisler says you can go your whole life, unfortunately, not realize the treasure that is yours. And I think, again, that's what Shavuos is. Shavuos is the opportunity for us to stop and to recognize the treasure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. To pause and to look at our accounts and to realize what it's worth. To realize the treasure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us on our Sinai. 3,300 years ago, the Rambam begins the third parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah. B'shlosha k'sarim nichtu Yisrael. The Jewish people have been crowned with three crowns. Keser Torah, Keser Kahuna, v'Keser Malchus. Keser Kahuna zachah b'Aaron. The crown of Kahuna was given to who? Was given to Aaron, Aaron of Cohen, and his descendants. Keser Malchus was given to who? Was given to David HaMelech and his descendants. Keser Torah, says the Rambam, the crown of Torah, to be part of the royal class, to be very wealthy, to have the treasure. What does it take to access it? Keser Torah harei munach v'omei d'muchan l'chol Yisrael. Keser Torah sits and it's waiting for every single Jew. And says the Rambam, all you have to do is come and claim it. Shenemar, Torah tziva lanu Moshe morash hakilas Yaakov. That treasure, that massive sum, that awesome gift was placed in Klal Yisrael's communal bank account. We all have the code, we all have the access to it. Kol mi sheyirtze yavo v'yitzol. Anyone who wants, it's yours for the taking. You just have to know it's there. And you have to be willing to travel to go and to get it. And the Rambam goes on and says, maybe he'll say, the other crowns of royalty are the greater of the crowns. Maybe the crown of Kahuna, the crown of Malchus, is better than the crown of Torah. Shema Tomar, Sha'osim Aksarim Gedolim Mikasar Torah. Maybe the other crowns are more desirable than the crown of Torah. Maybe it's not the greatest gift of all. Hareyu Omer, Bi Malachim Yimlochi, quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei. Viroznim Yechoku Tzedek, Bi Sarim Yasoru. Says the Rambam, Halamadata Shekesar Torah Gadol Mishnei. That the crown of Torah is the most valued crown of all. It's the greatest gift. It's our Swiss bank account that's just waiting for us to access it. It's there, and Hashem says, it's yours for the taking. In the lesson again of the Rambam, Kol mi sheyirtze yavo v'yitol. And to think that a person can go his whole life, and God forbid, not even realize what's his. There's an amazing medrash. Maybe some of you have heard it before. I'm sure some of the Rebbeim have shared it over the years. It's such a beautiful medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah. The medrash is commenting on the pasuk, Lo yadati nafshi samasni. It's a pasuk in the sixth parak of Shir HaShirim. Says the Medrash, such a beautiful mashal. Listen to this carefully. Tani Rabbi Chiya, mashal labas malachim, shaitz melaketes b'shlafim. Imagine a princess who years ago was taken hostage, kidnapped from the palace, and over time she was passed from one place to the next. She never knew that she was a princess, and she's living down by the train tracks, and she's melaketes b'shlafim. She's picking grains out of the garbage. I was picking soda cans out of the garbage heap for a 5-cent refund. Nimsa melech over. One day the king is passing by with his royal caravan. V'hikir shehibita. And he looks up and he sees a girl out in the fields. He sees a girl down by the garbage dumps, looking around, trying to find something to eat. And he says to his driver, wait, stop the wagon. I know that girl. I recognize that girl. I haven't seen her in years, but I recognize that girl. And he sends his beloved to go down, and he invites this girl to come. And next thing you know, she's sitting in this stretched limousine, right, the royal caravan, traveling with the melech. And all of her friends come out of the woodwork, and they come up as she's pulling away, as she's driving away, and they say to her, we can't believe it. They say to her, yesterday, Esmol, Hayis Melaketes B'Shlafim. Yesterday, you were one of the riffraff down by the train tracks with us. V'ayom Yosheves B'Kroninim HaMelech. And today, you're sitting alongside the king? You're part of the royal family? Who would have imagined such a thing? Amr Lahem, she says to them, Keshem Shatem Tmeo Salai. Just like you wonder, just like you're surprised, how do you think I feel? And she said about herself, Lo yadati nafshi, I had no idea who I was. For all these years, I was a princess, and I was living like a poor person. And I missed out on all those magnificent opportunities to be part of the royal family. Says the Medrash, so too in Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Klai Yisrael were in Mitzrayim. We were slaves. We were despised by the world. The whole world was picking on us, making fun of us, a worthless bunch of nobodies. And then all of a sudden, the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Mitzrayim and plucks us out of Mitzrayim. And the Umos HaOlam come to Klai Yisrael. And they say, yesterday, Hayisim Ovidim B'Titu Levenim, yesterday you were involved in building pyramids for Paro. V'ayom Nasisim B'nei Chorin U'Seganim HaKol HaOlam. And now overnight you've become the princes and princesses of the world. Who would have thought such a thing? We thought you were the lowest nation on earth. Vayusral Omrim Lahem, and Klal Yisrael say back to the Umos HaOlam, Keshem Shatem Tmeim Aleinu. Just like you are totally in a state of wonderment, you can't imagine that such a thing could be. Kachanu Tmeim Alatzmeinu. How do you think we feel? How do you think we feel to undergo that transformation in a second, to go from being the most despised of nations to being Hashem's chosen people? And Klal Yisrael said about themselves again that pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Lo Yadati Nafshi. We simply don't know who we are. We don't realize how great we can be. There was a bachur who was coming late to davening in yeshiva in Slobodka. And the altar of Slobodka one time went over to him and he rebuked him. And he said, listen, you know, every day you got to start coming to time. One time to davening, it's not right. And this bachur was really frustrated with his own lot in life. And he spoke back a little bit to the altar of Slobodka. He says to the altar, Rebbe, what do you want from me? You think I'm a malach? What do you expect from me? The Rebbe says, no, I don't think you're a malach. In fact, I know you're a human. And I also know that human beings are greater than malach. That a yid has the ability to be greater than a malach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. The malachim wanted to keep the Torah, but Hashem took it away from them and gave it to us. Klal Yisrael are so great, and sometimes you can go for years and not even realize it. Lo yadati nafshi. If a person could go his whole life and not realize who he is, so all the more so a person can go through his life and not realize what is his. Not even realize the gift that Hashem gave you, not to access that Swiss bank account with $30 million waiting for you in your name, just waiting for you, given to you by your loving father. I don't know if the Chevy realizes, ever heard this. A couple of years ago, in 2013, in Florida, in Tampa, Florida, a $16 million Powerball ticket went unclaimed. Can you imagine? Someone went to a thrift shop, a little store, a convenience store on the corner, a 7-Eleven, bought a lottery ticket, won $16 million, and never bothered to check the ticket. The ticket was in the wash in someone's pants pocket. Can you imagine sitting on top of someone's dresser amongst a pile of other worthless papers? 2013. 10 years earlier, 2003, also in Florida, a $53.7 million jackpot went unclaimed. It expired unclaimed. There's a period of time a person has to claim the lottery ticket. If you don't claim it, that's it. And Chevra, in 2011, just a few years ago, in Georgia, $77 million Powerball winner didn't show up to claim his prize. They knew someone won. They could see from the computer someone had won, and yet it was never claimed. A person could go for years. A person go for years, he could have a treasure and it's sitting there just waiting for him and he doesn't even realize it. Hel chaval. And that's what Shavuos is. That's the Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos. It's not that we're getting the Torah for the first time, we got it long ago. But we stop and we reconnect and we refresh and we realize the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And we breathe new life that His Chadshus, Kol Yom Yu Beinecha Kechadoshim, at least on Shavuos. We stop and appreciate how fresh and how beautiful the Torah is. What would be even sadder? What would be even sadder than that Jew that Rav Chaim Kreisworth met in Yerushalayim, living like a poor person, not knowing that he had that bank account waiting for him in Switzerland? What would be even more sad, more depressing? Imagine a person, that poor person, he didn't realize, he didn't know that he had anything. It didn't ever dawn upon him that his father had left him this Yerusha. But imagine a person who knows. Imagine a person who knows that he has that account. He knew all along. And for whatever reason, for some foolish or stubborn reason, he knows he has it. And yet he refuses to access it. He doesn't bother to go and to look into it. He never bothered to check it out because he assumed there wasn't anything of real value there. Imagine a man living in California. Elderly man on his deathbed, he calls his son to his bedside and he says to his son as he's breathing his dying moments, his final breaths, he says to his son, listen, I want you to know something. He says, in Nevada, somewhere in the middle of the desert, in Nevada, the whole thing is basically a desert. The Great Basin Desert, which is the biggest desert in America, is in Nevada. So he says to his son, listen, I want to tell you something. In the Great Basin Desert, somewhere in the middle of Nevada, and he pulls out this little, the father reaches in, as his breathing is growing heavy, he reaches into his pocket, he pulls out a piece of paper with some strange numbers on it. And he says, these are the coordinates of a specific point in the middle of the desert. I want you to go there after I'm gone. I left something for you there. I want you to go and retrieve it. It's something for you. I love you very much. And with that, he breathed his dying breath. And the son says to himself, father's crazy. What's he talking about? Nevada. My father never left California in his life. My father was a simple man. What could he have possibly left for me in the middle of the desert in Nevada. And the son doesn't think much of it. He takes that piece of paper with the precise coordinates, and he stuffs it into his pocket, and later that night it ends up in a desk drawer. And for there it sat for years. And this young man was not a very successful person in life. He wasn't very matzliach. All his friends got the good jobs, and this person bounced around from one job to the next, and one difficult experience to the next. And his life was never kind of that happy life that he wanted for himself. And one day, after a particularly grueling day at work, he comes home and all of a sudden he thinks to himself, wait a minute, my father told me years ago about that somebody left me in the desert. I thought he was senile, he was an old man, he was crazy, he was losing his mind, Nebuch, at the end of his life. But what if there's something really there for me? What if there really is something in the desert in Nevada? And he dives into his nightstand drawer and he starts fishing around and he finds that crumpled piece of paper with the precise coordinates. And he sets out into the middle of the Nevada desert. And the whole time he's kicking himself. I'm such an idiot. There's not going to be anything there. There's nothing of real value. My father didn't own anything. What could he have possibly left for me in the middle of this desert? And he comes to the spot and he tracks down the location using all sorts of tracking devices. And he starts digging. And he's digging and he's digging. And it's boiling hot. And he's saying to himself, this is a waste of time. What am I doing? And as he's about to give up, he strikes his shovel down one more time. And all of a sudden he hits something. And he starts to dig a little more, he starts to uncover, and he feels there actually is something there. And he continues to dig, and he hoists out this massive trunk, this big chest, and he opens it up, and inside are stacks and stacks and stacks of $100 bills, with a beautiful letter penned by his father. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope this will make your life a little bit easier. And his tears well up in his eyes, and he's thinking to himself, I'm such a fool. I knew all along. It's not like the Jew that Rav Chaim cries with many Yerushalayim. He never knew. This person knew he had a treasure. His father told him, and he's kicking himself, I only would have listened to my father all those years of hardship, struggling, bouncing around from one job to the next, trying to make ends meet, never being able to have the house or the car or put the food on the table that I want for my family. If I would have just trusted my father, if I would have believed that he actually had intended to give me something, or there really was something there. And chaver, that's what Kabbalah Satorah is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, he took us into a desert, and he says, I have something to give to you. I have a gift for you. The greatest gift ever. And all we have to do is believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the truth. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu means it when he says, my Torah is sweet, my Torah is precious, my Torah is beautiful. And chaval to the person who dismisses it as foolishness, as worthlessness. He says, I know what Torah is. It's not that great, it's not that exciting. If only we would know how perfectly crafted Torah is for each and every one of us. That the whole world was created for Hashem to give us the Torah. I want to read you a lashon from the Sefer Chovas HaTalmidim. In the 8th parak of Chovas HaTalmidim, on page 76, he brings a Medrash Koheles. Chaver, try to understand how perfectly crafted Torah is for you. It's tailor-made for each and every one of us. It's the most natural fit. It shouldn't be something that we have to struggle to come to terms with, to be willing to pursue into that desert. It's so perfectly created for us. Halo tiras divrei medrash koheles. The Piazetz, the Rebbe writes, Mi nivra bishvil mi. The Medrash asks in Koheles, who is created for whom? Yisrael b'shvil HaTorah, or a Torah b'shvil Yisrael? Who was created for whom? Did Hashem create the Jewish people for the Torah, or did Hashem create the Torah for the Jewish people? U'mesayim ha-medrash ha-Torah b'shvil Yisrael. The Torah was created for Klal Yisrael, perfectly created for Klal Yisrael. Hishto'ev hishto'me. Says the Piyaz, that's the Rebbe. We should be totally overwhelmed. Ha-Torah shi kol kach kedosha. The Holy Torah. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, in a written form. Torah Hashem shekol kach ishtokegu ha-malachim ilal. The Torah that the angels put up a fight to hold on to because they knew what it was. Kol etzem v'tachlis b'riyasa. Why was it created? Says the Medrash, b'shvil Yisrael. It was created for the Jewish people. Precisely tailor-made for every single Jew. Ha'ein sof l'sinai ba. V'imo mirivos kodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to our Sinai and he brought along with him tens of thousands of angels. Hear mes shamayim. V'hirish asaretz. Hashem shook the heavens. Hashem shook the earth. For what? V'akol b'shvil Yisrael. For each and every single one of us. Hashem wants to give us His Torah. Tachlis b'yaso. V'tirchas kadsha. Hashem, so to speak, troubled Himself. He bothered Himself. He burdened Himself. Ha'yelahamid oscha v'escha v'recha. That you and your friends and your family should all be able to what? To be Jews. Shetiyu Yisrael. Am krovo krovim mamish. To be Hashem's relatives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Father. Banu atem l'Hashem elokeichem. Like that father who wants to give something to his child so badly. It's all he wants. That's his whole goal. V'zostia gam atarascha. Asher elat kamit tishtokei. And this has to be your every desire. That longing, that excitement for Torah. Shetia karov elav. That you should feel close to Hashem. Lipcha v'napshecha yargishu. Af hemas kadosh Yisrael asher shochen b'kirvam. to feel and to internalize and to believe. And to believe in a very real way. To believe in a very real way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a gift for you. Pause for a moment on Shavuos. I know you've learned Torah before. We've all learned Torah before. We learn it every day. We received this gift a long time ago. We've been learning it for a long time. But pause for a minute on Shavuos and try to experience it in a new way. Try to get back to that Yu Be'enecha Kechadosh. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Aleph, Ta'amu Re'u Ki Tov Hashem. Taste it and you'll see how good Hashem is. Taste it and you'll see. Try to experience. You'll say, maybe I tasted it before. I learned Torah all the time. It's not as good as my Rebbeim claim it is. It's not as good as Hashem claims it is. It's okay. It's nice. Some nice ideas. Yeah, it's important values maybe for a world that's a shtickle crazy. Right? But Ta'amu Re'u, says David HaMelech. Taste it again. Try it again. Experience it in a new way. Maybe you'll find something that you never knew was there. Because you could be learning Torah your whole life and you don't really taste it. It's like, imagine a person goes to a Mets game and he spends the time watching a Rangers game. Can you imagine such a thing? Anyone imagine such a thing? Imagine being at a Mets game, but you're at... Why is everyone laughing? Oh, really? Who knew? No, you could be coming to Beis Medrash every day. You could hear Shirim from your Rebbeim. You could spend time learning Torah, and you don't really know what it is. Says David HaMelech, Ta'amu Ureu. Come to Shavuos. Taste it again. Enjoy the cheesecake. Taste the cheesecake also. Have a good cup of coffee, but taste the Torah again. Ta'amu Ru'u, and you'll see how beautiful it is. It's so sweet, it's so delicious. It's just a question of acquiring a taste for it. It's an acquired taste, it's a mature taste. It's like a good bottle of wine, which might not be as tasty to some of us as that cheap wine, that cheap bubbly wine, which everyone enjoys at the Shabbos table. They tell a maisa, they tell a beautiful story with the Divrei Chaim HaSanz. The Divrei Chaim HaSanz, one time a woman came to an Erev Shabbos with tears in her eyes, and she was coming from the marketplace. She was a very poor woman. And she said, Rabbi, I have nothing for Shabbos. It was Erev Shabbos. It was late in the afternoon. She said, I have nothing for Shabbos. And Mamash, I have nothing for Shabbos. So he says, tell me, what do you do? She says, I have a little apple stand in the marketplace. I sell apples. And I buy apples. And I try to make a little profit. So I can buy a little something, a little fish for Shabbos, a little something. The Chavit Shabbos. And she says that this afternoon I was in the marketplace. And I thought I got a good deal. I had purchased these apples. I was, again, hoping to sell them for a small gain. And everyone's telling me in the marketplace, your apples are no good. And the Divrei Chaim HaSanz says, what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's apples aren't good? Give me the basket. And he takes the basket out of her hand and he goes right back to the marketplace. And the Divrei Chaim sets up a box. The Chaim Halberstam gets up on the box and he says, who wants apples? Beautiful, delicious, fresh apples. L'chavit Shabbos. And everyone sees the Rebbe standing on a box selling apples in the marketplace there of Shabbos. Who doesn't want an apple from the Rebbe? And everyone's lining up and they're buying an apple, another apple, another apple. Before he knows it, the whole basket is gone. She's made a sizable profit. And he says, go buy yourself something for Erev Shabbos. And the woman, with tears of joy streaming down her face, says, Rebbe, thank you so much. How did you do it? And he says to her, my sweet Jewish woman, he says, don't you realize the apples are good? You just have to know how to sell it. The apples are inherently good. Ta'amu re'u. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't tricking us. Hashem didn't bother himself to give us the Torah because he had nothing better to give us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my apples are good, my Torah is sweet, it's precious, it's beautiful. But you just have to be willing to try it. You have to be willing to taste it. That's what Shavuos is. An opportunity to taste the apples once again. To try to experience it in a new way. In a fresh way, in an exciting way. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to taste his Torah. However, in life, sometimes a person only comes to appreciate Torah in a difficult situation. And I saw, I don't know, Rabbi Storch, maybe I agreed to this title. I saw that the title of today's shiur was supposed to be My Personal Journey to Kabbalah Satar. I don't remember agreeing to that title. It could be. I'm not going to blame Rabbi Storch. It's probably my fault. I forgot. But B'chol Ofen, I'll tell you a little bit about my personal journey to Kabbalah Satar. And again, however, sometimes in life, it's through a challenge that it's only through a difficult time that we appreciate what Torah really is and what it has to offer us. This past summer, about a year ago, it's hard to believe, Hayinu Kecholmim, it's almost like a strange dream to me. But I was diagnosed at the beginning of last summer with lymphoma. And I spent the first half of the school year in and out of Hackensack Hospital. And I was getting treatment, chemotherapy. It was a difficult time in my life. Baruch Hashem, B'liayin Har, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a lot better. And I'm able to get back to teaching Torah the second half of the year in YU. But being in that difficult situation, being in that hospital, being so uncomfortable, undergoing physical changes and difficult, painful treatments, I understood what David HaMelech said in Tehillim. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, Lule Soraska Shashuai. If not for the Torah, which is the greatest source of joy and pleasure and delight, Shashuai, a toy, something to keep me happy, Azavadati Ba'ani. then I would have been lost in my difficulty. Everything would have been ruined. And Chavra, I can't tell you how true that statement of David HaMelech is. Lule sorascha shashuai. I would come to the hospital and I would check in. I was usually there for 3 or 4 days at a time, getting treatment around the clock. And I'd bring with myself, I'd bring a little bag with a stack of svarim, and I'd set it up on the windowsill. And I can't tell you how much that sustained me throughout. How much it gave strength to my neshama when my body wasn't strong. But the Torah that I was learning kept my neshama strong. And I can't tell you how many times I had roommates throughout the various courses of my treatment. Every time a non-Jewish roommate, very nice people, fine people. But I can't tell you how much I appreciated the gift of Torah when I saw the difference that it made in my life as opposed to my roommate. My roommates who spent the day watching, you know, ESPN Classic or whatever, hours and hours of watching TV, just trying to survive from one meal to the next. That was the highlight of the day when they would get on the phone and they would order lunch, and then they would order dinner, and then they would order breakfast, and then they would order lunch again. And the classics, the highlight reels are running. And I could pick up a sefer and I could experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that place. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not bound to any particular place or time. And to my roommates whose lives were on hold, it was a prison cell. It was a dungeon for them. It was just a matter of passing the time, hoping to get back to what they wanted to do. But for a Jew who loves Torah, who's connected to Torah, who's able to take a sefer with him, even in difficult times, Asherinu Matov Chalkeinu. We're so lucky that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us such a gift. I had a roommate at one point during my treatment, a fellow by the name of Joe. He was seemed to be doing fairly well, and at one point they took him out of the room for a fairly routine procedure, some type of scan. And next thing I know, about an hour later, I walk out of the room, I was going for a little walk with my IV pole, and I see Joe's Rebbetzin standing outside, and she looks very sad. So I said, "What is everything okay?" She said, "Joe passed away." I said, "What? Joe passed away? What are you talking about? Joe was eating lunch in this room an hour ago. His illness wasn't that severe." And she said, "Yeah, Joe passed away. When they took him for the scan, Joe passed away." And Chevra, I'm not a doctor, and I can't prove it to you medically, but I can tell you, from my interaction with Joe and Mrs. Joe, I can tell you that Joe didn't die from cancer. Joe did not die from cancer. Joe died from a broken heart. Joe died from the fact that when he was stuck in that hospital, not knowing when he's going to get out again, he gave up on life because he had nothing there. Everything that he enjoyed about the world wasn't found within those dalet amos of the hospital. And he gave up. He pashut gave up. His cancer was not that severe. He gave up on life that afternoon because he had nothing to live for. Lule sorascha shashua. David HaMelech says, if not for the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, then how would we survive? And again, that's an opportunity on Shavuos. You don't have to wait for a difficult time in life to stop and to look into your Swiss bank account and to appreciate the treasure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us long ago. But however, I want to share one final point. And that is, Shavuos gives us an opportunity to fight against a spirit in the world that can be very, very destructive to the Jewish people. You know, people often say, Torah is chadshus, Torah or Sinai, you came there on Rosh Chodesh, it's supposed to be new in your eyes, the relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the oldest thing of all. It's the oldest religion. It's so old, it's so stale. How is Torah supposed to stay fresh in a modern society, in a world that's so progressive, in a world that's so advanced, and Torah seems to be unchanging, it's always the same? But Chavra, I want to tell you that there's nothing farther than the truth. Torah is the most progressive way to live your life. Torah is the most modern way to look at the world. One of the reasons that we're probably sitting in this Beis Medrash right now learning Torah is because of a Jew by the name of Rosh Raga Feivel Mendelovich. Rosh Raga Feivel was one of the great architects of Torah in America. Someone who came to America and believed that it's possible that, yes, even in America, there could be thriving Torah centers. There could be Batei Medrash of Jews coming together, learning and davening and keeping Torah and mitzvahs. There was someone who was critical of Rosh Raga Feivel. And they once said to Rosh Raga Feivel, you're such a dreamer. You're so unrealistic with your dreams of building Torah in America. It's just not going to happen. Rosh Raga Feivel, you're not with the times. You're not being a 20th century man. And Rosh Raga Feivel responded with a smile on his face. He said, "You're right, I'm not a 20th century man. I'm a 21st century man." He said, "I'm so far ahead of the curve." He said, "Torah is the way of the future. Torah is the absolute reality of the future." A man once brought his son to the Tzurk of a Rebbe. And the Tzurk of a Rebbe was talking to this young man. He saw he was not so connected to Torah. And he said to the father, he said, "Why is it that your son's not in yeshiva? Why aren't you sending your son to yeshiva? There's plenty of good yeshivas, good opportunities." So he says, "Rebbe, you don't understand. You're old-fashioned, Rebbe. You're from an old world." He said, "My son's part of the modern world. My son's from the new generation. It just doesn't fit with the modern times. It's not keeping with the times to go to yeshiva." And the Tzurk of a Rebbe said, "I want to tell you, I strongly disagree. I think that I am much more modern than your son. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, we say in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayo Vasenu. In the olden days, the Jewish people were idol worshippers. V'achshav, and now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought us close to his Torah. So the closer you are to Torah, the more modern you are. The more with it you are. The more connected to the times you are. The Torah Rebbe said, your son's not a modern man. Your son's not as progressive as I am. I'm far more modern. I'm far more progressive. Chevra, you want to be modern Orthodox? This is what it means to be modern Orthodox. You have to love Torah. Torah is the way of the future. Torah is the absolute reality of this world, no matter what anyone will tell you otherwise. Torah is the center of that reality. We have to embrace it with every bit of our body. Someone once came to the Rogachev Ergon, and they said to the Rogachev, who was a world-class genius, they were trying to sound smart in front of the Rogachev, and they said to the Rogachev, you know, I once saw there's a far-out Yerushalmi, a comment from the Talmud Yerushalmi, a far-out comment from the Talmud Yerushalmi. And the Rogachev Ergon stopped him in his tracks. The Talmud Yerushalmi is far out? Talmud Yerushalmi is not far out. Talmud Yerushalmi is exactly where it needs to be. We sometimes drift a little bit far out, but the Talmud Yerushalmi is exactly where it needs to be. And Chavra, that's an opportunity on Shavuos to mechazik ourselves in that reality. To embrace Torah, to mekabel the Torah that the world wants to claim is so old, and to say, no, you be'enecha kechadosh, that ki'ilu hayom nitna, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it to us today. So Rabosai, Emir Tashem, we should come to Shavuos. We should internalize this vart that really, I give credit to my daughter, when she said, Daddy, we're getting the Torah. What does it mean we're getting the Torah? It means we're stopping to appreciate the gift that Hashem gave us. We're stopping to appreciate what we have in that bank account. We're not going to live our lives ignoring the gift that Hashem gave us. We're not believing that He has something to offer us in that desert. And Emir Tashem, if we embrace Torah in this way, if we come to Kabbalah Satorah, and we re-accept the Torah that we were given 3,300 years ago, then Emir Tashem will live lives of tremendous meaning. We'll be zocha to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash from here of Yaminu.
Everyone, please head to shiur.